Welcome to the We Know Show. I'm your host, Renate Stralifer, creator of We Are Not Sam. Take a deep dive with me as I chat with global visionaries in conversations that uncover inconvenient truths, but also shine a light on how to be healthy, safe, and human in a technology-obsessed world. Let's get started. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 9 of the We Know Show with my special guest, Dr. Jess Piotros. Dr. Jess is a former hospitalist, internal medicine-based medical doctor, and a certified Gerson practitioner. She's an expert in the areas of stealth infections, environmental toxicity, and regenerative medicine. Her passion lies in uncovering the mystery behind chronic illness, whether that be stealth infections, heavy metals, stress, trauma, or other environmental toxicities. She explains why there are real root cause answers for why the body might be malfunctioning. After working as an MD in a hospital for 6 years, Dr. Jess realized that she needed to investigate alternatives to today's modern medical industry, which treats every ill with a pill. She became trained in Gerson therapy, functional medicine, nutrigenomics, and ozone in her effort to help her patients with chronic disease solutions. She is now an expert in the field of Lyme, parasites, and the health hazards of mold. Dr. Jess is a visionary for the future of healthcare. Her philosophy embraces true health that encompasses the whole patient, body, mind, and spirit. Now she's committed to sharing her knowledge that our bodies are meant to heal naturally. In fact, 90% of disease is a result of lifestyle, diet, and environment. Address those elements and you have a greater chance to heal and reverse chronic disease. Speaking of environment, we're going to be talking today about wireless radiation, an invisible environmental toxin, and how a dirty terrain equals a dirty germ. There are more doctors today studying electrosmog and talking about turning off Wi-Fi and hardwiring your networks. And so we're going to talk into that as well and get her take on earpods and what they're doing to the brain. One of Dr. Jess's missions in life is actually to win over doctors, doctors that push news out to patients. And when patients feel better, they tell all their friends and loved ones. The truth is that holistic doctors know that no pill will fix you and that ultimately you must be accountable to change your life. What we explored was this interrelationship between big pharma working with big tech and where infotech and biotech are now merging. Dr. Jess gives a doctor's point of view on how these industries are attempting to engineer life and thus our lifestyle. We explored how heavy metals and 5G may be creating human transmitters. We also talked about how to create a balance of staying active in this digital world while disconnecting from the grid and being present in your life. Dr. Jess also gives hot tips on how you can detox from wireless radiation, this invisible toxin. And we use satire and humor throughout this interview, as well as a recent challenge that we did called the Phony Test Challenge, where her video examining the organs of a plastic dummy, which is being used by mobile phone manufacturers for testing, is a dummy test, and it's received over 170,000 views on her Instagram page, which you can find out more about on our website, wearenotsam.com, and you can actually take the challenge yourself. So it is such a pleasure to be introducing Dr. Jess. She is one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. She makes me laugh and she makes me learn. And I'm sure that this interview will do the same for you. Enjoy. Dr. Jess, welcome to the show. I have to say, your social media posts make me laugh so much. I just told you that before we started recording. And I do believe, like you said, that laughter and tragedy are so closely linked. And in the times that we're living in, laughter has been my best medicine. So I want to thank you as a doctor for spreading so much health and laughter into my daily life. I get a fix from it every day from you. We have spoken before, I think it was last year in July on an interview, and we spoke into our individual wake-up calls and how we've uncovered really dark rabbit holes in this world and also within ourselves. And we've chosen to rise and shine and keep walking a path because it's not because it's easy, but because it feels true and why we believe we're here. And I'm really honored to speak to you because I know that you walk that path with such grace. And it's so important to me and to the listeners that I have on this show to understand and believe that we can embody mental and physical health and create pathways forward. And we need to get to the bottom of these root causes that are causing us and our societies a lot of pain. So we're embodying our own mental and physical health. And that is one of the best antidotes to, you know, the times that we're living in. And I think these darker, deeper places require that we don't find our way to ourselves. So we're far more honest and truthful. And during these times, we've had to face more of our demons and the critics. And out of that has come such incredible empowerment, wisdom, and trust in our own guidance systems, in our own bodies' guidance systems. And I love that you share those stories on your Instagram posts as well. And it's such an honor to have you on the show. You really are such a burst of sunshine. You actually had to dim your lights right before we started this interview because you were just radiating. So we've both stepped out of such a mainstream model, you with big pharma and me with big tech, and we found our way to live and to speak a truth that has paved a way forward for us in the whole health and freedom space. And we're going to speak into that today. So I'm really excited. I hope you are. And it's going to be so much fun. Welcome, Dr. Jess.
No, thank you so much, Renata. I'm very excited to be here, very honored that you asked me to come on, because any way that we can expose corruption in this world and make the world that we're living in a better place in our lifetime and for future generations, I'm all for it. All for it.
Love that. You once said that to revolutionize the face of the medical industry, that doctors need to tell patients the truth about their health. No pill will fix you, that you must be accountable to change your life. So tell us a bit about your background and why you moved away from this allopathic model of medicine as a hospitalist and what that journey's been like for you and what prompted that shift in your worldview.
Yeah, great question. I would say, it's a slow transition when you decide to do something for your career for a lifetime. It's really hard to see the error in something when that something gives you a paycheck and you're immersed in it every single day. Like you're pretty much in an echo chamber of other people who think the exact same thing, think the exact same different way than you. Let me just go back because my screen froze and it completely threw me off. When you are at the hospital, you're in an echo chamber of people who talk the same way, think the same way, prescribe the same way, work the same way. And so to think outside that box takes someone who's a little different, I think. And for me, I went to school, went to residency, worked in the hospital for almost 6 years, and it took me that long to see something was wrong. So, I started questioning the food in the cafeteria, why they were feeding, factory farmed meat and farmed fish and processed dairy to these cancer patients. I started, really asking why we're discharging people on 50 different medications. And at the time, my training had not told me there were root causes to things. So I was just questioning the system, and the doctors would say to me, I'm sorry, this is the way the system is. We know it's broken. So I just decided not to be a cog in the wheel anymore. And I feel grateful and blessed because I didn't have children. I didn't have a home mortgage, car payment that I was stuck in, so I could bounce pretty quickly. And that forced me to get trained in functional medicine and herbs and ozone, and really eventually led me on the path to root cause medicine, which is where my passion lies, because I really want people to understand that, yes, the studies show things might be in your genes, quote unquote, but what triggered those changes in said genes? If they weren't passed on from your parents, then the environment did. Well, what in the environment can change your genes? And I really started to unravel there for me. And then I discovered environmental medicine. I really discovered my patients taught me. And I believed them. that was the real difference in me and other doctors, really.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there are so many inspiring testimonials on your website from patients and from people who have successfully weaned off of pharmaceutical drugs and healed from all kinds of medical conditions through your program, Kill, Bind and Sweat. And you talk about choosing lifestyle interventions over medication to treat medical and emotional conditions. And that for a lot of people is so foreign because, yeah, we have been conditioned to think that if there's something wrong with us, that we have to ingest something or take something into our bodies. And that is the way forward. But the root cause is most likely, in many cases I've heard you speak, is quite emotional and takes you back to some, you know, to some trauma. And I think, we get to root causes with mold and, you know, even EMFs and all of these other things. But how much of it has to do with the emotional trauma of a person?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure anyone can answer that with full, no one knows for sure the answer to that. So I would say, you know, there's been studies that elicit that definitely is a root cause. For example, in autoimmunity or autoimmune conditions in general, we've shown that the more adverse childhood events or ACE, the higher the ACE score someone has, the higher likelihood of having severe autoimmunity that leads to hospitalization. So we know that autoimmunity, one of the root causes for that is trauma or some sort of perceived trauma or some sort of someone who, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be that you were hit or, you know, sexually, physically molested, abused as a child. That definitely can do it, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be that you didn't get enough food as a child. It could be that you didn't have, you had someone ignore you when you were wanting love and attention. It can be abandonment issues from a divorce, right? It can be so many different things for people. And we don't recognize trauma as what trauma actually is. We don't register that. We think someone really has to be physically abused sometimes. And that's just not the way the body works. It's how we perceive said experience. Mm-hmm. And yes, that stores in the body. You know, the body never forgets and the body keeps the score.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of that, these last few years, just with, you know, what we've seen going on in terms of the coercion and the pressure and staying at home and, you know, wearing masks. I mean, we can go on and on about all the different traumas that have taken place. I've got a 4.5-year-old boy. And at one point he asked me if people are wearing masks because they're not allowed to smile. So I had to explain to him and his little, you know, take on this, and it's not a little take, it's a big take on this, how the world has changed. And, you know, we know that in these last few years, big pharma are working with big tech. And these are very wild times that we're living in, where infotech and biotech are merging. These potions have infotech and have biotech. And as a doctor, I'd love to know what's your take on how these industries are attempting to engineer life and thus our lifestyle as a result of a pandemic.
Yeah, correct. You know, that's sort of what Build Back Better and the World Economic Forum are talking about, right? If you guys haven't heard what Klaus Schwab said, by 2030, you'll be happy and own nothing. They are blatantly laying out their plan. And yeah, I mean, it's very interesting what they're doing. It's almost, we've been a kind of tested with it in the past and things like the entertainment industry. You know, if you think of Beyonce's single video where she has the whole robot arm, right, on, and what that signifies possibly in the future. They would love nothing more than for us to be walking around working 24 hours a day with a computer built into our body, in my opinion. And that's really where they're headed. And some of the even injections nowadays have questionable ingredients as to what they may be doing to a human and what they may be mutating in a human. How there have been definite DNA changes, in my opinion, as well as, you know, now even some of the main outlets have been publishing studies that show that, you know, even women's cycles have been impacted. And I know from personal experience and from client experience that many of these women who didn't even get the injection have had their cycles impacted. And I believe people, remember? So when hundreds of people tell me the same thing, then I believe them. And so there are things that they're experimenting with, in my opinion, like leaky vaccines, right? Which can impact, that's published and studied. If you type in leaky vaccines in CBI, studies will come up on this, how there are vaccines that impact people who never had them. And so what does this mean when we're putting ingredients and injections that have never been tested on humans at this level before? And we know everyone is genetically bio-individual. If I asked you if everyone should be on metformin, let's say, you'd laugh at me. But yet we have been conditioned to believe that some of these medications are necessary to stay healthy, when that's a big experiment.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's one of the topics that I'm trying to get more clarity on, and that is the whole concept of transmission. And you know, that used to be shedding, now people saying more about the transmission, because I've heard the same stories, Dr. Jess, about, you know, women and their cycles. And I get so many of those messages on my Instagram account, people wondering if anyone else is going through anything like this. And, you know, you have to question, like, if they're talking about our bodies connecting to the internet and using potions that can enter our blood and therefore put sensors in our blood to connect us to the internet, so that we'd have to transmit to connect to the internet. Like, that's logical. So naturally, if people are feeling that they haven't had the potion, but they're being impacted by it, and there's a proliferation of the 5G installations in, you know, on the ground and in space, and then we've got people that feel like they're around others that are transmitting. I mean, this is wild, like absolutely wild. And we have to brace ourselves for the fact that we cannot control everything that's going to take place or what has taken place, but we have to embody another reality and we have to envisage one, because otherwise I've seen people that have quite an awareness about what's going on in the world, but they've gone into such a dark place that they cannot get out. And we have to understand that rising and shining and walking our truth and speaking into our truth and creating pathways forward is the best antidote. Because if you're stuck, you're literally feeding a system, because that's exactly their intention.
Completely, completely right. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the fact that many people have heavy metals in their body, things like mercury fillings, which the American Dental Association has just admitted are toxic and should be removed from people. But many people are walking around with metal in them, and many of these metals act as conductors of electricity. So if we are electrocuting the entire world with something upgraded to 5G, with these clock towers, they're much closer to each other in proximity, right? I mean, I think this is the, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is your specialty, but it's a grade below weapon grade or weapon level, correct?
Yeah. That's right. It's called ADS, active denial system. So millimeter waves, and where this technology comes from is military grade weapon, which is to floor people to the ground using wireless radiation.
So what does that mean when we have heavy metals in us, right? We also know there are certain pesticides combined with heavy metals as well, things like aluminum, things like that. So if we are exposed to all these things, we're becoming like human transmitters, literally. On top of all this, it's so terrifying. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, we are using technology, you and I, right now, and there are ways to use it in a meaningful way, but most people choose to use it as a distraction out of their lived reality. Like they just use technology because it's a distraction from doing any inner work. And, you know, we live in a very digital world, and we often misunderstand that where real connection comes from. You know, where real connection comes from having a heart to heart, being in nature. There are so many ways to really feel your body connecting. And most of the time, if you walk into a cafe or if you're around family and friends and they're so distracted being on their devices because they haven't been able to compartmentalize parts of their day of when they're available to be physical and present and connected to something that's more expansive and when they are constantly and only on screens. And this is what we're showing our children. And that's always been something that I've sort of moved towards helping people understand that it's really about self-regulating. And binge screening, I think, was not an accident. We know through movies like The Social Dilemma that these technologies have been engineered for addiction so they can surveil you and so that ultimately they can control you. And if you go into really deep rabbit holes around the Web 3.0 and, you know, the Moonshot Project, these projects, I mean, which are government paid projects, literally want to take you out of your bodies. They want, this is an anti-life agenda. They want you out of your bodies. They want you in a metaverse. They want you like in the film Avatar, where you're just a battery operated human being on another, you know, virtual reality. So the antidote, we keep talking about antidotes, is your human nature and how to come back and be in touch with your human nature. And I think that this is what these times are calling for, and everything that we're seeing on the outer is a reflection of what we need to be doing on the inside. So if we're masking up on the outer, we need to be unmasking on the inner, and so on and so forth.
Really, you're saying, you know, choose real dopamine hits over artificial dopamine hits. Really, because that's what the screens do, right? They, in my opinion, really spin our neurotransmitters out. They really do. You know, when you say become addicted to the screens, you know, physiologically what you're saying is we're looking for dopamine pings. You know, dopamine is the kind of motivation reward neurotransmitter. So, you know, seeing those likes, seeing those people online, the message you, whatnot, it's an instant reward, if you will. And I speak from personal experience, right? I'm an influencer as well. So I'm calling myself out here because I know what it feels like. So sometimes if you're stuck in that world, the real world can seem quite mundane. And that's exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. And so really learning to appreciate and have gratitude for the real world out there, not the screen world, that means you're teaching your brain to remember what real dopamine hits feel like.
Yeah. And how do you balance staying active in the digital world with disconnecting from the grid? Because I remember speaking to you the first time you were even off grid and being present in your own life. Like what are the ways that you do that?
Well, I'm not going to lie. It's really hard at first. I mean, it's just like if anybody's ever been addicted to anything, whatever that is, it's never, ever, ever easy to break an addiction. It takes discipline. And if you're addicted to your device, then, you know, you better bet that it's going to be a little difficult at first to appreciate being off the device. And so I really think that having company that you enjoy around is a great way to kind of temper the initial withdrawal, if you will. I mean, it really does feel like that for some people. I understand. And, you know, when you spoke to me off grid, I was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I had solar Wi-Fi, you know, that wasn't on and kind of didn't work all the time, especially if there was a storm, which, you know, at first made me frustrated, especially if I had something planned. But eventually you learn to surrender to something greater than yourself, and you learn to make the most of what your plan, how your plans change. You couldn't get online. Okay, go outside and appreciate nature. And it was a slow, kind of painful transition for me. And still, I struggle with good work-life play balance. You know, I still struggle with when to stay off the device and when to need to work more. We're in a very digital world. It's very hard. So I am speaking from my heart when I tell people, I understand how hard it is to break that addiction, especially if you're not on there working, you're on there distracting yourself and just scrolling, which is a bit different, you guys, really. And you know the difference. You just don't lie to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, there was a statistic I read recently from a study that said that per day on average, people tap their phone over 2,000 times a day. So, I mean, you have, I mean, scrolling is one thing because we know the scroll was designed to keep you on, but the tapping and the fingers, because they've almost turned our hands into these blunt instruments, and our hands have so many senses in them, as you know, and it's primarily and primitively has been used for a creative, for a lot of creativity, to cook, to bake, to build, to hug, to hold, you know, the amount of things that our hands can do when they're not occupied holding a device, which, you know, there's a science around called the peripersonal space. And that is all about how the more you hold something, the more you touch something, the more your body maps it out as part of you. So like truck drivers ducking underneath a bridge because they've mapped out the truck as part of them. And so this is sort of the way in which we've become so accustomed to having a device in our hand. And not only that, but also in on our body at all times, that our body's starting to map it out as part of us. And so that level of disconnection of like people saying, I feel like if I forget my phone, I'm forgetting a limb. It is literally the peripersonal space, which is
scary.
Yeah. It's really taking us towards that transhumanism because, you know, what's one step away from having a device constantly on your body? Well, you know, get chipped and, you know, buy your milk with your wrist, you know, whatever. So,
I mean, literally what you're describing is form follows function.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you're saying. And that's how nature and evolution works. And evolution can work over, you know, millions of years. It can work relatively quickly over a few generations, we've seen as well. And so it begs the question, if you're constantly holding this, you know, what does that do to your hand? Is it, you know, is this where people's carpal tunnel and wrist surgeries are coming from? You know, I know that's from typing on a computer. So we've already kind of seeing the effects of what this can do to our bodies if we are constantly groomed for this.
Yeah, it's definitely grooming and it's targeting kids. And I mean, I saw a video you did quite a number of weeks ago, but it was quite funny and it was around the ear pods. Do you remember?
Oh. I was on an interview.
Yeah, on an interview. Yeah. And it was so brilliant because, I mean, I'd love to hear your perspective on the health implications of literally wearing ear pods right between your brain.
I can't. I will look like a dinosaur when everyone else has those earbuds in. One day I will look like a dinosaur and I will still have the cords. I don't care because it's fine because literally I don't understand how people, I guess we're just so used to frequencies being around us and seeing, you know, turning on our Wi-Fi networks and seeing 30 different networks we can pick up. So whatever, one more won't matter. And I think people just trust that the system has tested these things for safety, you know, the general population. But in general, you guys think about, you know, AirPods, which don't have anything, but what's making them work? It's bouncing a frequency back and forth in between, literally in between your cranium where your brain sits. And I don't, especially because of we are not Sam and we're not here, I have to say that I don't necessarily trust their testing systems anymore. So, you know, why in the world would a company want to test their product for health and then let us know that it wasn't safe? They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't spend their money that way. And so I think we're just very naive and trusting of the system and of corporations and companies in general. And we have pack mentality where what everyone else is doing, it's very easy to fall in line and do the exact same thing. But literally, you guys, think about that. Think about what's going on. And especially with children who wear AirPods, it's almost like a sound cancellation too, which affects their developmental hearing. So there's so many different things that aren't tested that I just can't, in my logical reasoning brain, it doesn't sound like that would be okay for that frequency to be bouncing around in my brain.
Absolutely. And honestly, I mean, it's so funny because I want to just take you back to the first time you heard about Sam and how they're testing mobile phones for safety. I want us to have a bit of a conversation around that because I remember your face on the interview. And I just remember having like a Kodak moment where I was like, I'm going to take a photograph from my memory bank of that face because it was just a face that I've seen many times. And it's usually like eyebrows up, mouth open, disbelief that they're using a non-biological test, literally like you couldn't even make up a more ridiculous test is the truth of it. Using a plastic dummy with liquid to test mobile phone safety on a 6-minute call. It is like spoon feeding a Barbie doll some water and testing whether or not the mobile phone had an impact. And we get to these points where we have to look at the ways in which they're testing for safety. And generally speaking, they don't test safety the way that we even use devices or, you know, medications, et cetera. I mean, we see the same patterns. And one of the things that you and I did together was we did this phony test challenge where you ordered on Amazon this, you know, glorious dummy. And as a doctor, you were just measuring to see, you know, what has this been as an, what effect does, you know, mobile phone have on a dummy? And obviously there is no effect. And I just love that you reached out and you said, let's get this out there. And it had over 170,000 views and so many people were contacting me after that. So that was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And just getting the word out there, because the more we recognize that the proliferation of technology that we have on the market, the unsafe technology, is because of a dummy test, right? So they've proliferated the market. They've opened the gates for big tech to release whatever technology they want because it's based on a fraudulent test. And if they did it properly, if they had a biological test that could prove safety, then yes, we would have had safe technology on the market. But we're in the situation we're in now because people aren't taking the safety seriously. And giving it to kids when it's never been tested for safety for kids, and us having to kind of go, well, we're already addicted to technology. We're using it. We're in a tech-obsessed world. What do we do now? Now that we know that this was never properly safety tested and it's been proven, over 2,000 peer-reviewed reports have shown that it causes biological harm. I mean, where do we go from here?
You know, it's just goes to show you who really runs the world. Right? I mean, you know, bankers, insurance companies, you know, telecom, pharmaceuticals. It's very interesting. And I agree with you. There's been so many studies and appeals out there on people who understand what's going on. But it feels like a lot of the push towards people seeing the truth about what's going on. So many people, I feel, have to see it on mainstream news outlets to fully believe the truth of something. And really, I think a lot of this is going to come through holistic health, through the doctors. I feel we have to, it's one of my missions in life, win the doctors over, because the doctors are who push the news out to the patients, and the patients, when they feel better, they tell all their friends and loved ones, they tell everyone. And so if part of doctors, and I'm seeing it more. I am seeing a change in the industry. I want to give people hope too. You know, I am seeing the doctors start to talk about turning Wi-Fi off and hardwiring their networks, and you know, really looking at dirty electricity and electrosmog and all that stuff. That's really important. The studies are starting to reach some of the doctors, you know. So that's the good news, is that I don't think it's all going in vain. Maybe we don't have to win over the major news networks, but we do have to somehow start a grassroots network among the people who are going to be doing the healing, right? Because knowing about dirty electricity and electromagnetic radiation at any level is part of healing. It does impact our health, which is what we're talking about here. So the people who educate and help to heal and are successful need to be incorporating this into their protocols and treatment plans for people, in my opinion.
Oh, I love that so much. Absolutely. And I spoke to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny a while ago, and she said the same thing. She was going to be integrating this into her protocols for her patients, which that gave me such a, yeah, it was such a good feeling to hear that, honestly, because it, yeah, you just feel that it can resonate, and we are resonant beings. So whatever we pass on in our truth, it starts to resonate when it comes from the right place. And doctors have such an incredible amount of wisdom and power to pass on such important information. So yeah. And you spoke about, you know, dirty electricity, and you say that a dirty terrain equals a dirty germ. I think that's how you said it. But can you speak into this in regards to like terrain theory and the environmental toxin that's, you know, wireless radiation?
Absolutely. You know, we don't think of it as a toxin. You just said something and people were like, whoa, I think it maybe smacked half the people listening to that in the face. Wait, that's a toxin? Yeah, there are invisible toxins all the time, right? Radiation is another one that can happen that way. And dirty electricity, EMF, 5G, all that stuff, many people can feel, most people cannot. So I will say to you guys that what I have seen over my career is that people who end up pretty sick are people who are full of toxins. And what do I mean by toxins? Well, you just said one of them, which is, you know, dirty electricity, Wi-Fi. But then there's also things like, you know, heavy metals or industrial man-made toxins like pesticides and forever chemicals, POFAs, POFOSs, you know, flame retardants. There's so many different things to list here. And then trauma, that which is stored in the body, can also act like a toxin as well. So when people are full of toxins, you attract pathogens, right? Or, you know, the microbes that are in you start to need to digest the organic waste or toxin that's there. That's what bacteria do in the ecosystem. They digest organic waste. What stops bacteria in a petri dish? Well, mold does. So there seems to be a purpose for why you might have a bacterial infection or a candida infection. For me, I had candida there eating glyphosate or Roundup. So they can be there because you have heavy metals. So a dirty terrain full of toxins will activate possibly a dirty germ or attract a dirty microbe for cleanup. And so if you are one of those people, especially the EMF hypersensitive people, you know, these poor people have just really been made fun of and gaslit a lot. And there are more and more people who are starting to put the puzzle pieces together with their symptoms of this. So if you're one of these sensitive people, even if you're not, maybe you haven't put the puzzle pieces together that some of your chronic illness has to do with the invisible exposure, invisible toxins. And so you wouldn't believe how many people can think straight, think better, have less brain fog, have less numbness, tingling in their bodies, and palpitations, things like heart palpitations, when they're out in when they're out of their dirty electricity and environment and get out in nature. Mm-hmm. It solves so many problems. And so that leads me to say that this should be one thing that when you're looking at your terrain and where your exposures might be, this might be something that you want to try to mitigate or see how you can lessen that exposure. Because, and I'll lead quite into one of these studies, just so you guys know, there have been studies that show some of the Wi-Fi routers and the different frequencies that were around can make bacterial infections grow faster in petri dishes, things like E. coli and Listeria. We've also seen studies out of the Clean Heart Institute that show that mold can repopulate much faster around the 2.4 gigahertz frequency. So, you know, that's interesting that that's what they picked for Wi-Fi, the same frequency. So, you know, there are these questions that we have. So really, if I'm saying toxins attract the microbe, and I'm also telling you there are studies that show that frequencies can make microbes act differently as well. So we have to treat this as a toxin.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and I'll say independent for a reason, but the independent scientific community, they say that 5G does penetrate the skin, and we've got sweat glands that act as an antenna, and water is a conductor of electromagnetic frequencies. So sweat, there's water. So you have, I think it's over 100 sweat glands within 1 centimeter squared on the back of your hand alone, and 300 sweat glands on your head. So if our skin is our biggest organ, and one of the most frequent questions that I get is like, well, how do we detox from this toxin, from this wireless radiation toxin? So I wanted to hear your thoughts on this and whether you have a protocol, and if not, let's do one together.
That's a great idea, actually. I would love that. We can put it on Wellness Plus or advertise it, whatever you want to do. But I love that because I'm always looking for ways to detox radiation. And the reason is because radiation can come in the form of like uranium and radium being broken down in the ground, or it can come in the form of electrical and EMR. And when you fly in a plane, you get a lot more exposure, right? And I travel a lot. So I'm always looking for ways to kind of detox after flights and things when I know I've had some high exposures, even in the scanners at the hospitals, right? What is that? So I really like Epsom salt baths and baking soda baths alternate to kind of ground. I really like to put my feet on the ground, on the earth, and ground as well. That's one of my recommendations for even jet lag. Put your feet on the ground and eat the local food. It also helps to pull positive particles and different compounds out of the body because there's a negative electrical charge to the earth. So that really helps. The Epsom salt baths and the baking soda adds minerals back to the body, which helps us as well. And then I like a bind and sweat a lot too. And what I mean by that is you don't have to necessarily do my trademark protocol kill bind sweat with that, which sounds like I'm some sort of weird S&M doctor, but it's actually just a bind and sweat with this, which means a binder is something that's molecularly sticky to pull things out. And sweating obviously helps to detox our sweat glands, our skin. It helps to move our lymph and it helps to turn on our mitochondria, which help produce heat, which equals produce ATP, which equals heat. So, there are some binders that are formulated with Fulvix and Humix for things like radiation. So I would probably lean towards one of those and get an infrared sauna, do some red light therapy as well, which helps. There's near or infrared that really can help rejuvenate your skin and detox that.
I love how you put it back to sweat. I hoped you would do that because I was like, you're the kill sweat binder. So that's wonderful. And we talk about, there's such a play on words, like electromagnetic power dummy, like there's all these words that I'm finding that it's almost like a spell in society where smartphones, like what would make somebody think that a phone is smart, but then they're testing on a dummy. Like there's just so, it's just kind of wows me sometimes. Like when I really like understand words and like sourcing power, when you're thinking of electricity and all of these things, I'm about taking full responsibility for every aspect of my life, even the really difficult. And, this is a time, and you spoke about this before with the tech giants, World Economic Forum, governments, et cetera. And, they are accelerating us to find our radical responsibilities, basically where I'm going with this. And that it's, if you don't comply, blah, 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 these are your consequences. And I found that these times have made me a far stronger and more expansive person and also more compassionate, because I've had to test my own personal willpower, and it's with increasing pressure. We all have that. But I'm also recognizing that when we embody our own source of power and we find our way back to that real place of awareness and calm and doing things from this place of no pressure, but this understanding and awareness of what's existing in the world, we consistently find more and more of these like-minded people around us, and we find new ways to find the power in our lives. And I think one of the things that I love about you is that you don't get bogged down with all the negativity and all the shit. You actually keep people coming back, guiding them back to themselves. And that's why I value so much what you do and everything that you work so hard to achieve. And so my question is, it's kind of funny because I've almost answered it, but I don't think I can do it as much justice as you. But one of the things I'd really love to know is why you, Dr. Jess, do what you do.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like Christmas, seeing people feel better and come back to themselves. It's really, it feels like opening the present you asked your parents for when you were 10. And so for me, it's really important to not be, some person that people outsource knowledge to again. That's great if you need a guide, but ultimately I'm going to ask you questions and make you reconnect to your body, because what I found from so many people is Some people feel so well, they never even check in with their body. Some people feel so poorly, they don't have the awareness, though, to know what to do, and they're just disconnected. And so there's this wide range of people out there who don't even know what it feels like to kind of ask your body questions and know that you're the only person out there that knows your body best. And so I really feel like if I can teach people how the body works and my perspective about how they can truly come back and heal themselves, then they do it, they're never going to stop. They're never going to stop talking about it. They're going to tell all their friends and their loved ones, and it's going to spread like wildfire. And that's really what I want people to do, is to become their own best doctor. And they do that through showing the proactivity to want to learn and to want to change. Because as you said in the beginning, everyone has been taught that a pill should just make them feel better. And that's really not the path to full healing in mind, body, and spirit. And that's what I want people to learn, is it's okay to sometimes feel a small gradient of pain. It's okay to feel bad one day. You can do hard things. And those hard things, when you go through that shadow, you come out in the light on the other side. And then you've become a stronger person because you understand your body and you can see that you can do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I recently heard was, and it's funny because I've always embodied this, but I think I never knew it until I heard someone else say it. And I went, holy moly, that is so resonant with me. And we've sort of grown up in a society where a lot of the decisions that we make about our health or our work or anything really is to strive for this feeling of happiness. And I've talked about how it's enjoyable and fun to, you know, to look at these funny memes on Instagram and have a, you know, use satire in your life and all of these things. But I think that happiness is like elevator music. It's not really what we're striving for, you know. it's good to have it along the way, and it's beautiful. And like somebody said, you should fall to your knees when you experience it in its purity. But what we're striving for is meaning, and we're striving to live in our truth and to do it with love, beauty, and grace. And if along the way we fall to our knees because we feel the emotion of happiness, then that is a gift. But I think where a lot of decisions and root causes, I think in my life particularly, has been sort of this idea that anything you do should bring you happiness and joy. But if we actually strive for meaning and understanding our life and our health and our freedoms based on meaning, then it just is, it's like a song that's from the blues, you know, it's from a deeper place and it's raw and it's full of wisdom and life and pain. And yes, suffering is part of life. And yes, there's no such thing as one pill for, you know, it's no fixer-upper in life. But if we understand that we have to go through certain pains in our life to be able to get out of the, I guess, the vortex of understanding that we came here to have an imperfect experience, but along the way we find meaning, truth, love, and beauty, I think that's what makes this entire journey worthwhile. And I'm so blessed because on my journey of finding my truth and my love and beauty, that I've found these amazing connections all over the world, including yourself, who are walking a path, not because it's easy or it's fun, but because it's truly, truly meaningful. And that, I think, has been a gift that you've imparted on your viewers, on me particularly. And I'm so, so grateful, and I'm cheering you on. I've got all my inner cheerleaders constantly cheering you on, and I know we're going to do some great things together in the future. And I just want to say, Dr. Jess, thank you for what you do and the path that you walk on. And I hope you know that you've got so many people that are supporting and walking a path with you. So thank you so much for being on this show.
Thank you for having me. You were wonderful, and I appreciate all the questions and thoughtful discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jess. There you have it. Yes, technology does bring a sense of connection, but now you know there is another side behind the marketing curtain. So what can you do? Stay connected with us at wearenotsam.com. You can also find us on Instagram or Telegram at wearenotsam and subscribe to our channel. But most importantly, find your tribe and spread the word. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of The We Know Show. Whilst The We Know Show presenters endeavour to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice. You should always seek the advice from a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of The We Know Show podcasts.